Today's recording is L'Schus, in honor and in merit of the birthday of Nate Sternberg, Nussan Ben David. May he have a successful year in all things physical and spiritual, and especially in seeing how these two are the same unity. When Hashem first gave the commandment to make for him a temple, V'osuli Migdash, make for me a sanctuary, we know that it was still in the desert, as it says in Exodus chapter 25. And the first time when they made for God an actual house, when Hashem wanted that there should be, as paradoxical as it sounds, a home for the infinite essence of God, that there should actually be a physical structure in which God's infinite being is revealed, is at home. The first time this was given, this mitzvah in the desert, we fulfilled it with the building of the Mishkan, the tabernacle, as explained in great length at the end of the book of Exodus, whole chapters explaining the building, the structure, how the Mishkan, how the tabernacle was built. And the Alter Rebbe points out something fascinating about the Mishkan, about the tabernacle in the desert. And that is that we know that the roof of the tabernacle, of the Mishkan, was made out of animal hides, yirios, izim, and tachash, from goats and from tachash animals. The structure, the beams that actually held up the Mishkan, the walls, were atzei shittim oimdim, were acacia wood. They were made up of wood. And the beams were held up, the floor of the Mishkan was held up by the adnei kesef, actual little sockets made out of silver. Which means the Alter Rebbe, the Baal HaTanya, points out something fascinating, that the actual structure of the tabernacle, the Mishkan, had animal on top, vegetative in the middle, and inanimate things on the bottom. It was in descending order from animal, vegetative, and inanimate. The animal hides, the wooden beams, and the silver sockets. And the Alter Rebbe explains that this isn't, of course, like anything about the temple, about God's home. This isn't accidental. It's because since the temple is all about being a home for God and a conduit to allow His infinite light to enter reality, to enter the world, to pump properly, to fuse in the most harmonious way within reality, since it's there, it's all about downshining and bringing that light of God into reality. Therefore, the Mishkan was built in such a way that reflects the concept of this descending of worlds, this allowing of the light to dance at the center of our lives, to allow the light to enter reality, like the neck is all about allowing the vitality and the control of the brain to diffuse throughout the body, just like the heart pumps the blood properly throughout the body. Therefore, the Mishkan reflected, instantiated this downchaining of reality of God's light entering the world and descending from the highest world down through all the worlds into our physical world. It's reflected by the fact that the Mishkan was built in such a way of being animal on top, vegetative, plants, trees in the middle, and inanimate on the bottom. This, of course, also, as we learned, reflects how in the Mishkan, the temple, is about bringing into our lives that God's light should diffuse throughout all of our reality, from the holiest points of our day down to the most mundane. For if it is the infinite light of God, there can't be a place, a level, an aspect, a fluctuating part of our lives where God's light cannot reach. It could reach even the lowest places, even the inanimate, so to speak, aspects of our day. But then the Alter Rebbe, the Baal HaTanya, asks the very obvious, glaring question. That was in the Mishkan, in the tabernacle. But the Beis HaMikdash, the Beis Olamim, the eternal house of God, the temple in Jerusalem, was made only of stone. And not only was it that it happened to have been only made by stone because it was a permanent structure, but in fact, as the Rambam says, halachically, it was forbidden for there to be any wood, any eitz boilet, any wood, any vegetative at all in a revealed way in the temple. It had to be specifically made of stones. It couldn't be, the structure could not contain anything other than stones, other than inanimate matter. But if the whole purpose of the temple is to instantiate, to be a conduit for the downshining of God's light to come stage by stage into reality, why was the temple made only of stone? And the answer is because only the temple, not the Mishkan. The Mishkan, the tabernacle, was still temporary. It was only when we actually had the Beis HaMikdash built in Jerusalem was there a possibility to reveal the ultimate purpose of reality, really where God ultimately wants to dwell, and that is Dafka, specifically in the lowest place. You see, there's one thing when it comes for a lowest place to be, a way for the God's light to be revealed, it's even in the lowest place. You have a lowly level, a lowly place, a lowly state of reality as a possibility to reveal the infinity of God's light, even in a lowly place. For instance, if you bought yourself a brand new ultra, you know, one of these woodsman, earthy type of people flashlight, you know, you got one of these heavy-duty flashlights to be able to go camping, you know, hiking the Appalachian Trail or something. You got one of these really, you know, one of those that you go to Home Depot and you know, when I go there, I get lost in the aisles. But those people that, you know, you go to Home Depot, you know where to go, which aisle. You got those guys, then they know, you know, with the shorts and the tank tops, and they know which flashlight they want to buy. One of these really heavy-duty flashlights. And they want to show off how powerful it is. So what do? If you want to show how powerful your flashlight is, you go to the most darkest place you could go and show that even there it could completely illuminate that area. So there, that lowly place, you don't really care about the lowly place. It's just a way to reveal how powerful the light is. So one way of understanding revelation of God's light is that God's light is so infinite it could even be revealed in the lowliest places. But that's not the ultimate cause and purpose of reality of creation, as Chassidus explains. Really, the purpose of reality is that not that God also wants to dwell in the lowliest of places. That is where God wants to dwell. That is where God ultimately wants to have a home. We're used to thinking that God is so infinite that his light could even be revealed in the physical world. But that, Chassidus says, is incorrect. The purpose of creation is dafka the inanimate, dafka the physical world. This is where God wants his home. It's not just that God is politically correct and he believes in diversity, that even in the physical, lowly world, God wants to dwell. In the Beis HaMikdash was revealed that this physical world, the most inanimate world, the lowliest world, this is where God wants his home. And you understand that this applies in our lives as well. First of all, it applies to those times in life. You see, we have those times in life when we have the lowliest, most difficult and hard days, when we feel like a dead rock. That's where God wants to be felt the most. That's where he wants to dwell the most. And also we have in ourselves our own downchaining. We have thoughts, speech, and action. And Chassidus says, as important as thoughts and speech are for God, you know how we connect the most to God? By just doing mitzvahs, by just doing things. That's what makes Judaism different from any other religion. We value praxis above all. Torah says there's nothing more important to God than actually just doing things for Hashem, doing a mitzvah. No matter whether you're feeling, thinking, doesn't matter, just doing for Hashem. Because it's in our most mundane actions and almost inanimate acts that we connect the most with God. May we appreciate this and with through that see the third temple when God will eternally have a home in us in the world.